T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
All right, everybody knows at 4 o'clock on Fridays, we are joined by NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. Anytime John McClain is with us, he is presented by the fine folks over at Horn Solutions. John, man, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for having me. It's a great place to be. A lot of great fans out here. A lot of ice-cold beer and a lot of really good food.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a recipe for a damn good time, ain't it? Hey, I want to get to the Texas Longhorns announcing who their starting quarterback is going to be. I think those are two of the biggest decisions in the state of Texas, the Texas Longhorn quarterback and the Texas A&M quarterback. And we now know one. But John, I heard you telling the story earlier in the week about Chuck Howley and about how you got a chance to present him to don't let me screw this up, but to the Hall of Fame
Seniors Committee.
Basically, everybody out there that listens a lot, you know, John McClain, he does this often. Is tasked with the responsibility of presenting a player. Ultimately to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I'd imagine it's a lot of pressure, but he presented Chuck Howley, former Cowboy great, and I heard the story of how you know it was tough, it was nervous, he was a Baylor guy, you looked up to him, all that kind of stuff. But John, you've recently got some pretty good advice about information about Chuck Howley and what you got going on this weekend, man. Tell us about it.
Well, he wasn't a Baylor guy, he's a West Virginia guy. And I watched every game he played when I was a kid growing up in Waco. I was 8 when the Cowboys were born. He and Bob Lilly came in 1961. And until I came to Houston, I'd watched all the Cowboy games because I was a diehard Cowboy fan. And then I had an exorcism and I was no more. But back then, Chuck Howley was my favorite player. And I used to play in the yard like I was him. Everybody else wanted to be Eddie LeBaron, the little short quarterback, or Bob Lilly, the first pick. But I like Chuck Howley, and so I never met him. He's been out of football for 49 years. He's never been a finalist for the Hall of Fame, the modern era, or the seniors. And this year, the seniors committee, there are 12 of us, for some weird reason, we finally made him a finalist. And I called the Hall of Fame, and I asked them if they would let me present him. And they said yes. And so as I got closer to the presentation, I got really nervous. And I told my wife, Carol, I should have volunteered for somebody's dad where I wouldn't feel so close and so much pressure. And some friends of mine, I told I was doing this, Cowboy fans, they're giving me a real hard time. And I got help from Bob Lilly and Gil Brandt. And so I made the presentation, and you have 4 minutes, and then others talk. And then when it was over, before they go to the next candidate, they asked the presenter if you have anything else you wanted to add, and I had held this back. I said, of all the candidates we are looking at today, and they're all well deserving, all 12, none was voted first team all pro as many times as Chuck Howley. And Chuck Howley forced 5 turnovers in back-to-back Super Bowls, MVP in 1, the only player from a losing team ever be an MVP, and he played well enough, according to Gil Brandt and Bob Lilly, to be the MVP the next year when he forced 2 and they beat Miami. That one went to Staubach. And I said, what is the measure of a Hall of Famer if it's not somebody who comes up big in big games? And Lilly had called him a turnover machine. He still is second in NFL history to Jack Ham, the Hall of Famer from Pittsburgh, and turnovers forced by an outside linebacker. So when they went from 9-6, I thought he had a chance, and he made 6. And then when the Hall of Fame told us the final 3, I crossed my toes and my fingers, and I crossed my toes so bad I got incredible cramp. And when they announced them in alphabetical order to us, they said Chuck Halley, and I couldn't say anything because my toe was—I was in agony. And finally, I did. And this means they are the senior nominees to our big committee that votes before the Super Bowl. But we rubber stamp these guys, and next week there'll be a contributor slash coach, one nominee. So Halley's going to get in. And I said I never met him, and his career was over before I started in this business. And I talked to his son, and Chuck has dementia. And I said, did he know that he's in there? And he said, we don't know. We told him, but we don't know. And he said he never gave up his dream of being in the Hall of Fame, even though he'd never been a finalist. And his son said, where do you live? I said, Houston. He said, anyway, you could come up here next week and tell my dad. Maybe you can get through to him. Well, of course, can't say no. So I'm going up there, and Monday morning I'm going to go meet Chuck Halley and tell him he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and hopefully it will resonate with him. I've seen 2 other instances. Hank Stram and Gene Hickerson, great Browns guard, they had dementia, but at some point they snapped out of it enough to know they were in the Hall of Fame. Hoping that happens with Chuck Halley. Thank you for letting me tell that story.
Absolutely. That's fascinating, man, yeah. to be asked to go do that. And then, I mean, it was pressure enough. Hell, you talked for 4 minutes, and then you talked about the turnovers and forcing turnovers and all that. What the hell did you say for 4 minutes?
Oh, I had all kind of things. It was easy. Most people went over 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I had mine down to the T because I was so immersed in this. When the Astros blew the first White Sox game in the 8th inning, I wasn't even mad, and I didn't tweet any negative stuff about him because I was counting my 4 minutes over and over and over and over.
Right, right. That's John McClain, NFL Hall of Famer. He's presented by the fine folks over at Horn Solutions.
Now I got to do Andre Johnson.
I thought you already did Andre Johnson.
I did, but he didn't make it. He got the cut. He survived the first cut, but he didn't make the 5 because we didn't put any first-year eligibles. I thought DeMarcus Ware would be a lock. And it's going to be tougher this year because Joe Thomas, Darrell Revis, I think will be locks. I think that DeMarcus Ware will make it. That leaves 2 more spots. And Andre survived the cut, and Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne didn't. You talk about pressure. Tony Dungy and Bill Polian, who coached Wayne and Bill drafted him, they're on our committee. And I'm competing against those two, and they're pushing Reggie Wayne, and I'm pushing Andre. But Andre made that first cut, 1 more cut, and he's in.
You think guys like Joe Thomas and Darrell Revis will keep a guy like Andre Johnson out? Well, not whether he get out or not, but you think those guys are in first ballot?
I do. After everybody I've talked to on our committee thinks they're first ballot Hall of Famers. And I thought DeMarcus Ware, one of the greatest pass rushers in history, would have made it. But the committee decided to take care of some backlog.
Well, I mean, I hate to go from that Hall of Fame conversation down to
depressing.
Well, I'm
Hall
of Shame. No, it's not.
Hall of Shame.
No. I'm not going to Deshaun Watson right now. No.
I didn't say anything about Deshaun Watson.
Well, what the hell else could be? I mean, anything else we can at least talk about with a smile on our face, can't we?
Astros.
Yeah. No.
21-5.
I want to talk. I teased the college football, the University of Texas, that the Longhorns they've named Steve Sarkisian is named his quarterback, Quinn Ewers, the transfer from Ohio State.
He did it.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. But this is interesting because I do believe that 2 of the biggest, positions or stages or however you want to couch it in the state from a college football perspective is a quarterback at A&M and a quarterback at the University of Texas. And
what about the quarterback for the defending conference champion? That was 12-2, and is favored to win the Big 12, and is picked 10th in the preseason polls.
Well, I think it's a very prestigious position to hold. Blake Shapen.
You're right.
Blake Shapen was a guy that was a killer baseball player coming out of Shreveport, Louisiana. Isn't that who the guy is at Baylor right now?
He's the quarterback at Baylor.
Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot, actually. But no offense, I just think the biggest job is the Longhorn.
You're right.
The Longhorn quarterback in the 80s. But anyway, Steve Sarkisian has named Quinn Ewers the starting quarterback at the University of Texas. I mean, and look, I don't think that's groundbreaking because Hudson Card was the guy last year that didn't work out. The young quarterback that didn't work out. Thompson, I believe, is no longer there.
Yeah, he's in Nebraska. He's the new starting quarterback.
I really like him, by the way. But nonetheless, the Quinn Ewers is the guy. I'm not going to ask you to speculate on Quinn Ewers. Hell, we haven't seen him do anything beyond high school at this point in time. But Steve Sarkisian turning things around in Texas. I mean, this guy's got a lot of pressure in terms of turning this thing around. Not only because it's University of Texas and you're playing in the Big 12 right now, but you've got the SEC staring you down in a couple of years, maybe even 1 year if they change that timeline. He's got to get this thing turned.
They were 5-7 last year. They had their longest losing streak since the 50s. And the next head coach is on campus, Gary Patterson. So everybody knows that if Sarkisian bombs out again, Gary Patterson, who worked with Chris Del Conte, the AD at TCU, he's on the campus. They should be coaching their defense, and he might be. And if I'm Sarkisian, you're trying to got one eye on your team and the other eye on who's behind you. And I'll say this, based on what I know about Gary Patterson at TCU, I hope Sarkisian does just well enough to keep his job. Because I don't want to see Patterson coaching the Longhorns.
You like Patterson?
Yes, I do.
You're high on Patterson.
Guy did one of the best coaching jobs in the country.
TCU, yeah. Bringing that program up, I could see.
Well, and, he did a good job, but I've never. That's the first time I've heard that. I wouldn't think that he would be a shoe-in at Texas if Sarkisian.
His former AD brought him there.
No, you're connecting the dots. I trust you. You're connecting the dots, but I'm just one of those guys that held. Two things about Texas that I just have a really hard time understanding since Mack Brown left, because Mack did an incredible job there. But how you don't go get the best damn coach available that's proven and that you know can come in there and win after three tries now blows my mind. And how they can't find a quarterback that can go out there and play in today's world of how these quarterbacks are developed and trained up. It shocks the hell out of me, man.
I said this before, and you know it, and Ron knows it, and everybody out there that went to UT knows it. It is inexcusable for the University of Texas, a great school with more money than the government, with a great city, is not a top five program every year, like Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. There is no excuse for that. And they have botched coach hire after coach hire, and maybe they're right with Sark. The only thing about Gary Patterson, he ran the show in TCU. He didn't put up with BS.
Yeah.
At UT, the coach has to put up with BS. They have alum that interfere more than any alum in the country. They've proved they'll get rid of a coach after 2 years. It is pressure. And Sarkisian had it at USC. He's had it every step. He bounced back from a bad alcohol problem, and he's done great job at recruiting, but Patterson just doesn't seem to me like UT's kind of coach off the field when he's got to spend so much time rubbing elbows with wealthy alums.
Well, there's the one thing. Sarkisian just recently, hell, I think yesterday or day, you may have read it, the quotes he had in an article about getting rid of the warts, I believe, is what he called them, the bad apples.
The guy that released the video chewing them out.
Yeah, all of that. I mean, John, that's you mentioned Gary Patterson. Boy, that's – and I know he may be the coach in waiting, and Sark maybe need to look over his shoulder. But ultimately, if Sark's trying to weed out bad apples and remove warts, it's I'd imagine that Patterson's probably a pretty solid ally he is in that building.
He is, and he recruited great. No, and speaking of warts, he didn't get rid of the pole dancing monkey, I don't think.
No, he's still there?
I think pole dancing monkey and his master is still there with the coach.
I think you give him another shot.
Do you, the monkey?
Both, all of them. I think he.
That old boy. The crazy thing, how about that? When I was with the Dolphins, you talk about dysfunction now. before the Texans the last 2 years, the Dolphins were the most dysfunctional organization, and I was there for a year. Really, I was there twice over a two-year span. The coach that had the, I believe, the pole dancing monkey girlfriend coach was there, and the coach that snorted the cocaine off the gals.
I went to high school with her.
Really?
Oh, but you went to high school with the girl.
The girl.
I was talking about the coaches.
How did you know that was her?
I tried to get her on when it happened. I tried to get her on the air.
So you still had her number?
I didn't have her number. I was able to reach out to her. I didn't have her number. Dan Lebatard beat me to the punch, and she was scheduled to come on with us. Didn't let, and she probably got paid to go on ESPN.
Oh, Dan called, huh?
Yeah.
John, you ever peed in a keg urinal?
Not till today.
No!
Oh, you've been in there.
Yes, that was my first time too. That is, come on now, you got to give me a break.
Very ingenious.
There you go. First time.
Very ingenious.
First time.
I need you to look me dead in the eye.
Damn, that feels good. God, dog.
They don't even use urinals in Baytown and Fayetteville.
When you two get through, I need you to look me dead in the eye and tell me you ain't never peed in a keg urinal.
I've never peed in a keg urinal.
You got to get out. What are y'all doing in Waco? I've never even seen one.
You're unusual.
No, you're more Waco than you are Baytown. That's for damn sure. I've been peeing in keg urinals for 10 years.
Yeah, but they're full when you pee in them. It's an accident.
No, I mean, damn, I didn't know they were going to be. I need to go look at these things.
They're unbelievable.
I mean, I've seen a million of them,
but
apparently
they're. I've never seen it.
I went in there and I didn't know
what I didn't
know what
to do either. Right, me either.
Or take a leak.
Go in there. Don't let me walk in there and see Joe holding up McLean's feet trying to do a keg stand.
Go ahead, I got you.
It's a pisser, boys. You can't do a keg stand on the pisser.
Oh, we're having so much fun. We're here live at Tupelo out here in spring. Make your way out here. The Hall of Famer John McLean is out here. And your chance. You got at least half hour to an hour to enter the raffle to win a 70-inch Apple TV right here at Tupelo's in spring. So get on out here. John McLean presented by Horn Solutions. He'll stay with us the entire hour. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's ball game, Texans preseason game number 2. Who is he looking forward to seeing tonight? That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Getting you set for tonight's game in L.A. Live from Tupelo's in spring, it's Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right. Let me hear you out here. It's a party out here at Tupelo's. Yeah, man, we're having a good time. The general here, John McLean.
Say it again.
I said we're having a good – I said Tupelo's.
You got that. You got that Wayne. You know who Wayne Toops is, John?
No.
I said.
Boy,
somebody from Baytown?
I'd be damned. I'd be 0 for 2 right now, John. I'd have lost a bunch of money. Hey, John McClain's never peed in a keg urinal and doesn't know who Wayne Toops is.
I have peed in a keg urinal.
Just today.
I just did it.
Today. Yeah.
I was talking about before today.
No.
We're like brothers.
I'll be damned. I'd have lost a lot of money.
I've never even seen one.
That's right. We're here at Tupelo's.
It's like the old Tupelo. You play football. Are you too young to play Tupelo?
I've never heard of it.
Two below the waist. Two hands.
That's the whole thing. Like, you know, did you see their logo? It's like two hands like this, like two.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, Clint played it because he only played with women.
Never heard of that in my life.
Clint only played with girls.
The Tupelo, their play is like their palms on butt cheeks, is I believe what the logo looks like. But back in the day when you talked about Tupelo, like we were playing touch football, like I couldn't touch you on the shoulder, like I had to touch you below your waist. Two hands below the waist and you were down. You've been doing this right here, that wasn't going to cut it.
Played two-hand touch. Anywhere. I've never in my life heard of below the waist. Never heard of it.
I told you he did it with women.
We played it. It was co-ed.
In my life heard of that.
You youngsters screw everything up,
I have never heard of that. We just played two-hand touch.
That's
not just a Texas thing, is it?
I don't know. I thought peeing in kegs were a Texas thing, and you ruined that for me.
Well, it might be. Maybe I just...
No, Wayne Toops. Are you kidding me?
Who is that, a singer?
Yeah.
No.
I'll be damned. You need to retire and go listen to
Hall of Famer. The Hall of Famer proving.
I'm an old rock and roller.
That's right. Proving
that's
that
right.
Clint
You're
is
bad at bone.
I used to sing in a band.
Proving that Clint is not the majority.
100% I am. You're a cold place?
John McClain. I'm just.
I guarantee you.
This is Texas history.
Y'all are two of five men in this building
This is Texas history. A guy who is at 57 Hall of Fame.
I think he's just trying to make you feel at home.
I don't think he is. He didn't know. John McClain trying to make me feel great. No, come on now.
I've seen Garth Brooks in Vegas.
There you go. I've heard of Garth Brooks.
Went backstage for Faith Hill and Tim McGraw in Vegas.
Okay, you don't have the big time.
Damn.
Went backstage, huh? I think Clint went backstage.
I got some connections up there. I've been on a couple of buses of country singers. They wanted to show me around with their bands.
John, I got a good
the band Perry was one, and my mind's gone blank on the other one. It's a famous one. And that was cool getting to go on the bus and seeing how they travel and eat and drink and where they sleep, and very cool.
All right. John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions. Rams, Texans tonight. It'll be, I think for me, a couple of interesting things. One right off the bat is, I wonder who's playing this week. Last week we saw a lot of the vets playing. There was no Tunzel, there was no Cooks, there was no Christian Kirksey, there was no Malik Collins, several others that didn't play, no Derek Stingley Jr. I wonder this week who is going to play. Any vibes that you're getting that maybe – some of the guys that didn't play last week, we'll see more of them this week.
They had eight starters out, and I don't think Brandon Cooks needs to play. Get him a couple of series on the last game against the Niners. Something to keep in mind about the Niners. It is the first streaming game by Amazon. All eyes, every media outlet, every media writer, national media, everybody is going to be watching Amazon's pregame, in-game, and postgame. And I'll guarantee you the league doesn't want those coaches benching all their starters. I think Derek Stingley Jr. needs to play a little in this game and a little more in the next game, because if he doesn't and you put him out there, even though they don't play great receivers right off the bat, if he's going to start the first game, he needs to get a little playing time. And the first-team offense, even though it wasn't real offense, with three offensive line starters out, but Davis Mills has to look better. He's going to play a little more, and he needs to look better next week. And then, of course, it would help. It would be really good if they could find a running back to take some pressure off Damian Pierce. And I'm hoping they don't stick Marlon Mack out there for the first game, because if they do, they're not going to be putting their best team on the field, because it was clear that Damian Pierce was the best running back on this team, and it has been since the start of training camp. Kenyon Green came back from a concussion, and if he doesn't play in this game, there's no way he's going to start against the Colts. They want him to start at left guard. He will start at left guard because Max Sharping and Justin McRae should be backups. And that's why they drafted Green when they did, but they can't rush him back. But he came back to practice, and I'm still wondering how you get a concussion at camp.
Yeah.
When you don't hit, and you got one of those beehives on your head. But he was out a while, but he's back, and he is really, really important to what they do up front.
Yeah, it wasn't a slight concussion. I mean, he was off the grid, off the practice field, out of the sun for several days. So
I thought some people were saying it was his knee.
Yeah.
Until Lovie Smith told Sirius Radio it was a concussion, but he's 100%.
Yeah, how'd you feel about that? Lovie giving SiriusXM the deal and not telling the
Well, since I don't work for the Chronicle anymore, and I don't have to worry about the day-to-day stuff, it didn't bother me at all. Now, well, if now I still at the Chronicle, it bothered me.
Oh, okay, there we go. I fixed to say, well, damn, John. What about, like, I think the one difference that we need to see from last week to this week is, like, I need to see Pep Hamilton, Davis Mills be more aggressive. Like, and I'm not talking about be uber aggressive and take a bunch of risk with the football. I need to see more than one pass play called that's designed to throw the ball beyond the line of scrimmage this week. I mean, that last week, that was an unnecessary, in my opinion, it was an unnecessary risk in what they did. If that's what you were going to do, you might as well not take the risk of getting Mills or Nico Collins or anybody hurt that you think is going to help you win ball games. Now, I'm not suggesting that they should not play guys. I think this week they should play. 2-3 series is enough for me, but they've got to be aggressive to at least try to allow these guys to make some plays so that they can see themselves in a positive light.
Absolutely. The people need to have confidence in the offense, need to have confidence in Pep Hamilton. Now, they know Pep's not calling anything he's going to call against the Colts, and they ran the ball well. When Damian Pierce came in, averaged 9 yards a carry. But they need to throw the ball better. And I think they will with Mills because that was like a waste. And maybe it's because three starters are out in the offensive line. I'm guessing Justin Britt will play a little bit. But they got to have a backup center because, you know, he's in his 30s. He's got the knee issues. He misses a lot of time. And whether it's going to be Quisenberry or Jimmy Morrissey or Justin McRae as the backup inside swing guy between center and guard. We already know Charlie Heck will be the swing tackle. But they need to throw the ball better. I don't care if it's tight ends, wide receivers, running back. They got to get some positive yards with the passing game.
John, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think it is a piss-poor excuse. If the reason behind not leaving Mills in and not just calling your offense is because you don't have 2 or 3 offensive linemen.
No, I didn't think that's why I don't think that's what it was at all. I think that's why it was bad.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. It's like I just from a football perspective, like I understand, like, you don't want to show a whole lot. You don't want to risk a whole lot. You can go out there and call plays that are designed
routine
that are plays. Routine that are in every playbook in the NFL and right. Every playbook hell in high school and throw the ball, attempt to throw the ball beyond the line of scrimmage. You can do it where your quarterback gets the football out in rhythm, where he takes minimal risk holding the football unless he decides to hold the football too damn long. That's just not we didn't have our whole offensive line out there, you know, and I'm not saying that's why they did it. I'm just the notion of in conversation. You know, well, they didn't have their guys out there. Well, now, come on, man. This is NFL football, man. That has nothing to do with what they – I don't know. I can't think of why they would do what they did last week.
Bad?
Roll your not your, all your starters. A couple
not just
of guys.
Be bad. I mean, it just
they
doesn't
look bad.
Just seemed like they attempted. There was no way
he called one pass play, and they ran it on 1st and 20, ran it on 2nd and 17, which is fine. I almost said it myself. Look, that's fine with me.
You almost did.
But you had plenty of opportunity to call pass plays where he threw the ball beyond the line of scrimmage.
Like they did with Jeff Driscoll.
The first Jeff
play
Driscoll
was a ball
was
down
a go route. Route. I'm not going to beat him up about it last week. To each their own. But what the hell's the point? Like what you did was what led to like. The thought of what the hell's the point. If you'd have gone out there and had 2 or 3 series where you at least try to throw it down the field, you had, got good film, got bad film, gave some guys a chance to make a play, and got your who you're going to depend on, your starters, what we're playing off the field, cool. But you trotted those guys out there and for 6 plays took unnecessary risk there was no method to the madness once again. So I hope that's not the approach here.
All right, John McClain here with us. We'll continue. He's here with us until the 5 o'clock hour. We got time. Presented by Horn Solutions. Remember, Dear John, coming up, 713-572-4610. Text in any questions you have for the general.
I got to go hit this shirt. I got to go hit this keg.
You better get into it. Go ahead and leave right now. You got it. Any questions you have for the general, sports-related or non, he'll answer them for you. So text in your questions. All right, coming up. The Deshaun Watson situation is finally over. We'll get
the general's thoughts on that and what does that mean for the Texans. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Getting you set for tonight's game in L.A. Live from Tupelo's in Spring, it's Clint Sterner and the show.
As we are live out here in Spring at Tupelo's, make your way on out here. We're having a good time. It is a party atmosphere. The general is here. John McClain is here. Clint is here. Myself is here. And listen, you get here 6 o'clock. The Astros will be taking on the Braves very soon, and then following that, the Texans are going to be in L.A. You got all the TVs all around. There is not a place you can sit in here and you don't catch a TV. So get out here, have a good time, and enjoy yourself.
There are reasons to come out here besides taking a leak.
That's
great,
right.
Food, great beer.
But if you do,
great fans.
I don't know why you drive all the way out here to take a leak, but if you do, they have, and those are much nicer keg urinals than I've experienced in my
time. That's nice, isn't it?
Those are well done. I don't know who made those.
I went when I got here, and I'm going when I leave.
There you go. I'm going in there about 2-3 times.
Drink you a couple more beers, see if you can go a couple times, Bob.
All right, McClain, the big story finally over Deshaun Watson. Just your overall thoughts on everything that occurred yesterday. 11 games, $5 million is what they settled on.
It's pretty simple. Most people, especially Texans fans, want to be a season so they lose more games, they get the higher picks. And then the league wanted the season. They compromised at 11. Don't know why it wasn't 12. Never saw anybody speculate an odd number. Now, I'd rather it be 11 than 12, so he'll be back playing against the Texans. I'm guessing there'll be women's groups protesting outside NRG Stadium. The fans will have obscene chants. They'll boo like crazy. And it'll be fascinating to watch how he plays, watch how the Texans play. And I think up to that point, the Browns probably be 6-5. They got a tough schedule after the first five. And Watson comes back. Every game in December is outdoors, bad weather. The two home games in Cleveland on Lake Erie, the weather could be the worst of all. And he's never been a big bad weather guy. And what I'm interested in, he's never been criticized in his career until all this. Can he compartmentalize it? Can he focus on football and not people chanting three-word chants in the stands? What I'm hoping is Texans fans don't sell all their tickets to the Browns fans who travel well. Anytime Cleveland plays here, there's a lot of Browns fans there. Keep your tickets to watch Deshaun Watson. And the reason they only did 11 was simple. Stay out of federal court.
I was going to say, you don't think it was a coincidence that the first game he ends up playing is against the Texans?
I think the NFL wanted to punish him, so they put him in the city where he's hated the most.
So that was a punishment for him.
It certainly wasn't a reward.
So definitely wasn't a coincidence. Gotcha.
No, of course it wasn't a coincidence. My goodness.
Here we go.
And nobody will ever admit anything like that. But what a better scenario than have him coming back at NRG Stadium where he was so great with his new team. If they'd gone to federal court like they did with Zeke Elliott and Tom Brady, it would have drug out. And then eventually the federal court judge would say, look, there's a reason you got a collective bargaining agreement. Go back to it. That's what it says. Leave us alone. That would be down the line. And so the NFL wanted it to be over. And then the Browns have made two incredible mistakes on public relations. And I know they're not listening to their PR staff because they got a really good PR staff. The Haslams, I'm sure, brought in crisis PR people who know nothing about sports. And so the first time they let him talk in March, you know, he made a fool out of himself. They should have just said he's not talking about his legal situation. He's talking about football. This time it should have been he stands by the statement, which obviously was written by the Browns and not him. And when they allowed him to talk, he put his foot in his mouth again, and he's being crucified around the country by standing on his innocence.
John, what do you think about the NFL, Roger Goodell, and how they handled this thing and how they came out looking on the back end of it?
Well, he did what the CBA has to do. He could have done it himself. He turned it over to Peter Harvey. Harvey didn't make a ruling. they reached a settlement because the NFLPA was going to sue in federal court. So Goodell got out of it. Obviously, he approved it too, and they did what they could do. If you'd have done it more, it immediately would have gone to court, and we'd had to talk about it another 6 months, year, whatever.
But John, the big picture, I mean, the NFL is, I mean, clearly they don't give a rip. I mean, because they would have stood strong. I mean, Roger Goodell had the ability to make the decision and stamp the year suspension and chose not to do it out of fear of what could come because of the way they've handled business in the past.
Federal court.
I mean, right. Either way it goes, it's because they've handled their business poorly in the past. And they don't want to drum that back up. And so at what point does anything change with how they handle particularly crimes against or issues like this, off-the-field issues like this that involve women with players?
Well, this is unprecedented in the history of sports at any level. There's never been anything like it, and you hope and pray there'll never be anything like it again. So I don't think we'll ever see anything like this. They have suspended players. They've kicked players out of the league for domestic violence, but they also have let them come back. Like Kareem Hunt drop-kicked the woman on the ground, and everybody saw it on video. He missed 8 games, and he came back after the Chiefs cut him. The Browns have him, and the Browns talked about how much he'd bounce back. Boy, the Haslams make fools out of themselves. D. Haslam and Jimmy Haslam, they just sounded like they were on another planet.
That's what I was going to say. You told him, you said they should not clueless. Let him talk, but they didn't help themselves either.
No, they didn't. And there's a lot of friends of mine in the Cleveland media. They still don't like the fact they made the trade. Now, I don't know how he'll play when he comes back this year. Tough games, tough schedule, all outdoors. And I'm guessing we're not going to see the best of Sean Watson till next season.
All right, we do this each and every Friday with the General John McClain. Dear John.
Let's kick off the weekend by asking the most respected Houston sports writer of all time anything you want. Submit your questions to the text line 713-572-4610. Include hashtag Dear John along with name and city. And for today's Dear John, let's open up the mailbag.
All right, John, as we are live here at Tupelo's, Wayne and Humble, how many rookies will end up starting week one for the Texans?
Wayne, we know Stingley will start. We know Petrie would start. That would be 2. I'm going to guess Kenyon Green will play tonight, play next week, and start the first game, so there'll be 3.
3. I think 4.
Damian Pierce.
Oh, I think.
Sorry. Yes, Damian Pierce, of course.
I know it's been a want, but I just don't know how you could watch practice then that game. There is a clear difference between him, Marlon Mack. I guess we haven't seen Rex Burkhead in a game yet, but I think I have a good memory of what Rex looks like. I think there's a clear difference between those.
Won't surprise me. Besides getting a blocking tight end, if Cesario. When cuts are made or trade a low pick for another running back.
You think there's another running back that's going to be
Marlon? Because, you know, Damian Pierce is not going to take every snap to catch every ball. He's got to block. There's got to be another back who can come in and do a reasonable impersonation. Is that Marlon Mack after 2 injured years, or is it somebody else?
Can it be Rex Burkhead?
He should be number 3.
Who?
Burkhead. I don't think maybe he'll be the guy, but to me, he's just more of a third back.
Like if they made a move and upgraded their second back behind Damian Pierce, I'd be cool with it. But right now, as they sit, I'd be comfortable, John, with Burkhead and Pierce. I think Marlon Mack. I've seen enough of Marlon Mack. I think his
time.
I just think he's done. He can try to get as much out of this as he wants.
He has a feel of the David Johnson, the Philip Lindsay.
Well, there's just
like what we've watched from them.
Would they play him against the Colts at start out of respect against his former team?
Well, if that's where we're at with the Texans, boy,
hope not.
What a crying shame that would be. But I've watched Marlon Mack in camp and multiple times, and there's never been one moment where I was like, yeah, dude's going to get back to where he was. Like, the dude's got it. Like, it just, it looks slow. It looks heavy-footed. It wasn't a good look in the first game in terms of when things broke down in his defense. There wasn't a whole hell of a lot to work with. But I just don't see – I saw far more from Rex Burkhead last year when he was down the stretch where he ended up running for several
knocked the Chargers out of the playoffs.
They did. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get aggressive here. Teddy in Friendswood. My girlfriend is a virgin and keeps asking me what my number is. My number is 16. Should I tell her the truth or lie?
Boy, Teddy, that's something.
Teddy.
I'll put it out there. Teddy. What if you were a virgin and you ask her, would you want her to tell you 16? I would lie and cut it down considerably.
You got to go under 10. I mean, you got to go single digits,
when
right?
When time comes, you act like this is the greatest, like you bought a Mercedes after driving a Volkswagen.
You got to.
No,
I mean,
you don't lie.
Yo, the hell you don't. She's a virgin. And she keeps asking.
Don't tell her 16.
I'm guessing because she is. Like, you got to come clean. Like, you.
You don't. You can't lie.
You got to. I'd settle around 6 or 7.
First of all, if your number's 16, you need to go lie to somebody that has a similar number to get in their pants.
I would. Like, no, not if you really like her. If you really like her, I'm saying.
If you really like her, be honest.
No, I'm going 7. You can look at me and say you've been honest every time. No. I'm going 7. I don't.
I agree with you.
I'm at 7, maybe 6. Depending on how many times he's asked,
just
I might
remember,
go to 5.
Teddy.
I mean, you guys are terrible.
If the situation were reversed, what would you want? Would you want Lauren to tell you 16 if you were virgin?
At that point, I was 44 years old, and she's beautiful and 13 years younger than me. She could have told me 20 for all 50 for all I care. I mean,
different. You know, it's. I mean, I just. No, I think women feel a little different about it. I'm about to get.
Now you're gonna tell us how women feel?
I think women feel a little different. You at her at 0, you at 16. I mean, that feels like a little bit of whole quality.
I've been around a few women in my life.
That lady right there, she just gave me a look like I'd leave.
I've been around a few women in my life. I waited a long time to get married, and I would imagine there's far more that would rather not be lied to than sleep with a man that's got a double digit number.
I'm sure she'd rather not be lied to, but like, come on, come on.
You can't tell the truth on everything.
I'm just
going to
tell you.
Right. In a marriage.
You're a POS if you lie to a woman that's never had intercourse about your number so that you can be that guy.
I'm going to be a POS.
Doesn't surprise me one bit. I'm going to be honest. Doesn't surprise me one bit.
What would you say? 7. He said it.
Be honest. Hey, if she bounces, go get you one that's
not
got 16.
7, 6, 6, 6. He said 6. Hey, give it up for the general, the Hall of Famer.
Is that all?
That's it. We're running out of time, man.
Okay, when are you doing that next commercial?
We got it coming up right now, baby.
I'll leave when you're done.
Follow that question up with a Stud RX commercial.
John McClain, the general presented by Horn Solutions, as he's with us each and every Friday. Coming up, we'll get you ready for tonight's game as both teams, the Astros play the world champs and your Texans play the world champs. We'll get you ready for that coming up next as we roll through. But before that, all my fellas out there, are you struggling with erectile dysfunction? And I'm telling you right now, if you are, maybe this guy next to you is laughing or the other. You're not alone. I bet half the guys in here are struggling
with
it. Yes. I bet they are.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, you don't have to sit there and be a dud anymore.
Ooh.
Come on, John. You could be a stud.
Thank you. What do I do?
That's right. You could be a stud. The first thing you need to do is go to Get and visit GetStudRx.com. They've got 4 different plans, a plan that will work especially for you.
I want them all.
That's right. So you can stand up and be that stud. Damn it, be that stud. Don't be a dud. Be a stud. Visit GetStudRx.com. Available only for Texas residents through licensed telehealth provider on our website.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.